did Tai Chi begin and why? What were the reasons behind the splits in styles and techniques, and why, after centuries of evolution, do such squabbles between stylists still enrage even the most placid of practitioners? Find out in this week's episode, part one of the fascinating but schizophrenic history of Tai Chi Chuan. Welcome back to Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. This week, as promised, we're going to look a little at history and ask ourselves, where did it all begin? But it's a big subject, so I shall be continuing the Teapot Monk version next week too. Make sure you set your podcast to download automatically, otherwise you'll miss the exciting conclusion to this rather controversial account. But first, other news. Thanks to everyone who has contributed to the discussion this week on teaching sword form to beginners. If you haven't read the post or seen the video, take a look at the Teapot Monk website or the Facebook page Talking Tai Chi, where some of the discussions have been in progression. And if you speak a little Spanish, you can always chip in on the Tai Chi in Loja Facebook page, where some good comments and interesting ideas have come about. That's Tai Chi in Loja, L-O-J-A. Let me know what you think about this subject. Not holding back when it comes to education. Secondly, I know I promised an update to the Art of Teaching ebook this month, and for those of you who have been waiting, please have patience. It's taking a lot longer than I thought, but it's going to be worth the wait. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I try and give out free resources fairly regularly, but I've been snowed under with extra work recently. It will be worth the wait, as this new updated version includes extra articles and hopefully this time round images as well. Finally, on the subject of books, thanks to all of you who have reviewed either the Manual of Bean Curd Boxing or Tai Chi 50 Questions and Answers on Amazon, the iBook store, or Barnes & Noble's digital store. Reviews really help motivate me and encourage to keep me writing. So if you have either read 50 Questions or the Manual of Bean Curd Boxing and not left a comment, even if it's just, you know, loved it, great book, like the cover, nice title, good font, whatever, I'm keen to hear your feedback, particularly in countries where I can't leave comments myself and dependent on you. So please, if you live in the USA, Australia, Canada, any other country than the UK, which is the only one I can directly influence, or Spain, granted, then please do leave a comment. When I come to revise and update the books each year, I will bear all of these in mind. So anyway, on to this week's episode. The history of Tai Chi Chuan is shrouded in myth and legend. And to understand how it works, we need to first understand a little about how history itself is generally recorded. So I'm going to mention something first from my youth. Bear with me. Growing up in London during the 1970s and 1980s, you had no choice but to adopt a political stance. It was a bit like wearing flared jeans or listening to glam rock. Although it wasn't obligatory, you knew you were missing out on something if you didn't participate. So we were always engaged in some social protest or another. It was a time for defining yourself and the ideas about progress and change. It was all part of growing up in such a turbulent period under the stern gaze of Margaret Thatcher. And as a student, it was given that our activism would become channeled through one political group or another. The Socialist Workers' Party, the Revolutionary Communist Party, the Workers' Socialist Party, the Anarchist Socialist Union, the Class War Movement, the Revolutionary Socialists, and of course, how could we forget the good old Labour Party? Now my point being was that any gathering of all these groups, were anyone to grab a megaphone and shout out, "Anyone here actually represent the working class?" there would have been an almighty to-do as each group fought each other for the right to call themselves the authentic voice of the workers and the true representatives of socialist politics in Britain. You know the sort of thing. If you've ever watched The Life of Brian, you'll remember the internal struggles of the Judean Popular Front. Okay, so now let's leap forward a decade or two and see how things are in the world of the internal arts. And I'm going to begin by asking you a simple question. How many Tai Chi teachers does it take to change a light bulb? The answer? About 200. One to actually change the bulb, and 199 to stand around and point out where and how they would do it differently according to their own schools. In other words, history is not objective. Historians, or storytellers, have agendas, and each has an investment in promoting one version over and above the other. Douglas Weil, an author on Tai Chi history well worth reading, writes something rather interesting in his book, Yang Family Secret Transmissions. He says, quote, "Abandon all hope, ye who search for certainty, for there is not a single detail that is not the subject of bitter scholarly debate," unquote. And this indeed is the crux of the issue, as there is no certainty. Yet we all act as though we have somehow acquired through intense insight or osmosis this certainty, this conviction that there is but one version, one path. So my suggestion is that we put the disputed history of Tai Chi to one side, for it is riddled with discrepancy and contradiction, and instead focus on the legends and myths, for they can perhaps tell us something else. Something even more fundamental than the places and people that economics or politics have recorded for personal posterity. Facts are rarely objective. Dates and names may be, but the interpretations we place on them depend as much on who we are and why we're recording the information as anything intrinsic to the data itself. Perhaps it is the stories that will make a practitioner's feet, quote, "dance to the insights and inspirations of the words," unquote. Douglas Weil again. So what's the word from inside the training halls of the world? Well, we suspect that a mythical figure existed at some point in the early mists of martial art history. A solitary figure who practiced the postures as separate moves, later unifying them into a continuous form. In the Warring States of China, such moves were clearly martial in origin, and were conceived as part of a military agenda, either in a personal or collective sense. We know that it was not until many centuries later, in the Chen village, that the art we know truly developed. But it did not begin to spread out and evolve until Yang Luchan adapted it to a new era. Yes, that's the very same Yang Luchan I interviewed 2 weeks ago back on the blog. I'll leave a link in the show notes. We know that it was during the Chinese political and civil conflicts of the early 20th century that the art was inspired to change again, eventually fleeing abroad to Taiwan and later to the West, where it would evolve again into something else for another people and another culture. More than this is unclear. More than this depends on who you ask and why. But it all matters very little when we're looking for inspiration rather than dry data. With that in mind, I present the totally unsubstantiated 2-minute version of the history of Tai Chi Chuan. This version takes into account that we now live in a world suffering from attention deficiency and a world raised on a diet of social media updates and Twitter-length items, and therefore adjusts itself accordingly. I give you the Twitter history of Tai Chi in 5 stages. For this, you'll need patience. For this week, we're out of time. Join me for next week, part 2, the Twitter history of Tai Chi. For an alternative look at the internal arts, visit teapotmonk.com for controversial articles, heated discussions, insightful interviews, and links to the 2 classic texts on Tai Chi, The Manual of Being Good Boxing, and of course, Tai Chi 50 Essential Questions and Answers. Got a comment or a suggestion? Tweet me at beancurdboxer or email beancurdboxer@gmail.com.